Hey, welcome. It's great to be together today, and we're here at Lake Bunga, and it's just beautiful. I looked at a question the other day: is there a spiritual side of you or me? And the answer to that is yes, there is. I love the last line in the chorus where it says, "And leaving your spirit with us until the work on earth is done." And that kind of really leads in well to what we celebrate, this being Pentecost Sunday. And although a church calendar doesn't dictate what's important, Christmas time we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Easter we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, and both those things are important all year round to us, as is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait for Pentecost Sunday to give attention to that. Jesus promised his disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we're people that need to know that we are really spiritually alive. And we need to be a people who have a fresh appreciation, and also personally acknowledge and just have a renewed reliance upon the person and the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, who brings change on the inside that then shows up in so many ways on the outside. I'd like to read to you from Acts chapter 1. And this is Luke, who not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but we believe he also did this account and records the things that Jesus did. And this is just before Jesus ascended and went to be with the Father. And starting in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." May God bless us today as we consider the absolutely grand implication of what Jesus has said, and the fact that we here at the very ends of the earth are ones who know of the love and the redeeming purposes of God. Thank you, everybody, for being part of this morning, and special thank you to Brian and Barbara. And we would just want to say again, congratulations on 50 years of being husband and wife, and thank you for being the example that you are amongst us. I'd like to read to you from Ephesians chapter 3, and starting at verse 10. It says, "His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering, which is for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now, I think that's just amazing. Amazing that the Apostle knew to explain such wonderful truth, but amazing that he knew he could pray and ask for such a thing to happen to people like us, for people like us. That you can be a new you, that there can be something that is renewed in your life, and that your spirit can go from disconnection with God, to be one who is receiving power. It's kind of like, you know what it's like when we have a blackout and we start to wander around and find out, well, what's gone wrong? Has a circuit breaker flicked off, or is it a larger blackout in the district? You go outside and you look at the neighbors and see, are their lights on or not? And we're in a blackout. And it's possible for us to be in a spiritual blackout and not know it. We're spiritual people, but we can be spiritually dead, spiritually disconnected. But that's not God's plan. That's not his intention. It says here that his intention was, his plan was to do something about that. And that's just fantastic. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants to be our father. He wants us to find our identity as his children in him. And people search for all sorts of things. They pursue all sorts of things to find identity, but that's only ever made complete when we belong to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostle prays, and he says, you know, not according to how good we are or how much effort we put in, but according to his glorious riches. It's according to his glorious riches that something marvelous can happen in our lives. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is the Spirit of God working in you, working from the inside out, as Mrs. Gray has talked to the children. Being changed on the inside. Having your inner being occupied by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what, when Jesus went to the cross, when he died on the cross, when he forgave us our sins, when he cleansed our hearts, he made it a suitable place then for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Now, most people around you don't know that that's what God has done. And they don't know what God is doing. And they're in a spiritual blackout, and there's a sense of disconnect, a deadness of spirit within. It's, you know, when David struggled with sin in his life and went one from one thing to another, and the situation just got worse and worse. And when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, who was pretty brave in addressing the king as he did, David's heart just broke before God. And the thing that he cried out was, Lord, please create in me a clean heart. But not just create in me a clean heart. Not, I don't just want to be forgiven. I want your spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And God wants that reconnect. God does create in us a clean heart, but he also renews his spirit within us. Sadly, it's not just people around about us that don't know what's going on and that sometimes are stuck in this spiritual blackout. Sadly, even many believers can be spiritually dehydrated. They don't know this living water that can flow into their lives and satisfy their deepest need. They struggle with a spiritual suffocation. They don't know the wind of the Spirit blowing in their lives. And we can let this happen to us when the Lord himself wants to actually pour living water into us to make things new and to satisfy and to rejuvenate the dryness that exists in our heart. The wind of the Spirit would blow and move us into the very life of God, with the very life of God living in us. I do pray that as we, and I pray that you read these scriptures, read Acts again, read Ephesians 3 again, and you know, look at the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks about out of our lives would flow streams of living water. This is descriptive words that speak of the person of the Holy Spirit flowing in and out of our lives. May there be a fresh appreciation May there be a personal acknowledging how much we need the Spirit of God within us. May there be a renewed reliance upon Him, a receiving of this power. Not a taking for granted and not a, oh yes, I prayed and asked for that once, but like breathing, like drinking, something that we need continually. May He strengthen you with His Spirit within you. May you be changed from the inside. And may it bring change on the outside. May He bring change to the world through us.
I love that song. Jesus, you're changing me. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. That's the amazing work of His Spirit at work in us. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that it is your intent to bring about change, and that your redeeming love makes it possible for change to take place. And I would pray, Lord, for us all, that out of your glorious riches you may strengthen us with your power, Lord, by your Spirit, in our inner being. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and that you do that according to your power that is at work within us. And it's for you, Lord, that you get the glory. Lord, in your church, in Christ, and throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.